This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December the 13th, 2012, episode 551. Good morning, Horse World. Well, it is recorded Thursday here on Horses in the Morning. We'll be back live again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. If you caught the show we're bringing you today already, then just check back with us again tomorrow. And of course, tomorrow is Friday, so it is Really Bad Ads Day. Hop on Craigslist, find those really bad ads, especially ones if they have Christmas in them. We'd love to see those. And submit them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Today's your last day to get those in. And our prize this week is a pair of hose nozzles from Hydra T. These are specially made hose nozzles for hosing out wounds or hosing legs for long periods of time due to soreness, things like that. These are specially made for equestrians. Check them out at hydrot.com. And we're giving away a pair of those, a $40 value this week. So you'll want to get your ads in for a chance to win those. Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Today we bring you the Driving Radio Show, episode 75, The Music of Winter. This was rated by Wendy, host of the Driving Radio Show, as one of her favorite shows of the year. We had on Barry Dickinson, who is an authority in turnout and carriage history and worked for many years for Cynthia Hayden, one of the most influential women in coaching and hackneys. And he currently lives in South Carolina training Morgans, but he is also an authority on sleigh bells. So this is a very holiday-ish episode as you learn a lot about the history of sleigh bells, and he plays a bunch of different ones for us so that we can find out what they're all about. I hope you enjoy. We'll be back live tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern for Freestyle Friday, right after this word from Equestrian Collections. Howdy, everybody. Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm speaking to Debbie, and we have our Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
Well, this week, I wanted to remind everybody that Equestrian Collections started out as 1824. We started out in the plus-size rider business, and we still do have plus-size rider clothes. One of the things we have in stock right now is the RJ Classics plus size show shirts. This is something hard to find, and we have specifically in our store. We have them in different colors. They come in pink, blue, and white. They have the fancy collars, the new kind of snap collars that go across so you don't need the rat catcher. And they've got we've got white ones, and we've got pink ones and blue ones with the print inside the collar and the cuff, so that it's very today. I mean, this is not your old style shirt. This is a today shirt in plus sizes. They're in cool fabric and stretch fabric, and I think our plus size riders have been looking for these, and they are finally in stock. Please take a look.
Do you know what size they go up to?
Up to 52, and we have up to 52 in stock in some colors. And we also have short sleeve and long sleeve, so we have you covered.
Sounds terrific. Well, you can find all of this at equestriancollections.com. Just search for RJ Classics Ladies Plus Size, and you'll
or
find
go
all the
to
options.
The, don't forget, go to the 1824 collection, and you'll find not only these shirts, but many other products for our plus size riders.
Sounds terrific, equestriancollections.com.
Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells?
Ho, ho, ho. This is Glenn McGee from Ocala, Florida.
And this is Wendy Ying in Sarasota, Florida. And you're listening to the Driving Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
Was that festive? You like hearing the music and the bells?
I feel so festive that I think we should go skip straight for our chatty chat and go right to our next guest, Barry Dickinson, who's going to tell us all about bells, because I know that Barry and his friends don't want to fast forward past all of our chat.
So Barry, we're going to get right to it today. I'm not allowed to talk.
No, not allowed to talk. This is for you, Barry. So our friend Barry Dickinson is back, and he's an expert in turnout and carriage history. He worked many years with the late Cynthia Hayden, one of the most influential women in coaching in Hackney's, and currently lives in Camden, South Carolina, training Morgans. So many of you will remember he talked to us about his adventures in coaching and sleighing and turnout. And so this week he's going to educate us on the magic of sleigh bells. Well, Barry, we are so happy to have you back with us again. And today you're going to be talking about something so fun, which is sleigh bells. So tell us a little bit about the history. I sometimes call them sleigh bells, but they're really horse bells because we didn't only use them in the olden days for the snow. We used them all the time, right?
Well, yes. They're something about method of communication. And also safety. The bells on, say, the cattle in the Swiss Alps, you know, they tell you where the cattle are. Years ago, the people would have bells on their cattle, and they would know where they were. If you go to Argentina, you have the bell mare with all the youngsters that she's raising. And they know by the sound of that bell where their mother is, their substitute mother is at that time. And so there's another use. And, of course, they've had goat bells, sheep bells, turkey bells. They're just to tell you where the animals were. And also so that at night, you know, when a hansom cab, say, in the cities always required a bell because they went a little faster than the other carriages. And so, you know, your horse would know where this horse was if it wasn't going down a cobblestone street, which, of course, was making an awful lot of noise. So it's safety and communication as well as a nice sound that doesn't drive you crazy mile after mile after mile. So the sleighs would make a sound, but the bells come, and of course they'd be trotting on. So they would just be coming, and they would just go off in the distance. And of course, when you're in front of the bells, you hear them. When the bells are gone past you, you don't hear them as much,
right.
You see.
Right.
So that sound, the thing that was a big problem in the city was that when young horses would come in from the country and weren't used to all these bells and all of a sudden would get startled when they heard so many bells and would take off and, you know, spread people down the streets and into snowbanks and things like that. But, you know, especially at night, you know, people don't realize there are no lamps on sleighs. And in a blizzard, you can't see anything. So the only thing a horse would, and the sleighs don't make a sound, and the horse's feet on the snow don't make a sound. So the only way a horse could prevent from running into you and causing an accident would be to hear or listen to the bells.
Huh.
And that would tell them where you were and how close you were and try to avoid them, you see.
Hmm.
So that's why it was a law to have bells on a sleigh. Quebec in Canada, you must have 6 bells on a sleigh.
Now, do you know how far they date back? Sorry, Wendy.
They would go back thousands and thousands of years.
Okay.
I mean, they were made out of turtle shells and all types of things. Not necessarily bell metal or anything, but they were there to cause a sound, you see. Wood, there's many chimes in the religion in the East. In Asia, where they used bamboo bells and wooden bells as big wooden gongs, you see.
And so there are different bells for different, to say different things. So how do you know when, like, what if you buy a string of bells? How do you know if they're good or what you use them for? Or?
Well, a string of bells would go right around the girth. They come in many, many, many patterns. I mean, you won't find as many now unless you're a very avid collector. But every company that made them years ago had many styles. I mean, they were the shape of a raspberry and an acorn and a buckeye, and then many were round with a flower pattern on them. So everybody tried to have their own distinctive pattern. Those are the little round bells that have, like, the pie cut on the top, either 4 mm-hmm. or 6 or 8. Those are called a crotal bell, and that's cast with the little circle ringer. That's cast right in the clay, you see, and then that is when the it's done in sand casting, and then when that's done, then that's shaken out and left, the ringer's left in. The open face bell, which we wouldn't go around the girth like that because of its weight, but some of them did have them on the bottom, but they mostly went on the shafts of the pole or were on a back pad. And an open-faced bell, too, is what you would use with a cow or a sheep or something like that around your neck.
Oh, I see.
And now, what about these would be open-faced bells.
So that's a set right there?
That's a set there, and you see how long the bells keep resonating?
Yeah.
The sound carries, that's a good bell. When you stop shaking it and there's no more sound, it's like, duh, that is not a good bell. That's not good metal. And if I was up in Canada right now, far enough north where it would be about 30 below, the metal would be very, very hard, and the sound would be just incredible, because when you get the metal really cold on a cold winter's night and the clangers are hitting inside, the bells are totally different than where now it's like, what, 74 here today in South Carolina. So you're not getting the sound as if you were out on a nice sleigh ride and it was nice and cold.
And now, with like in that example right there, is it the metal that makes it a better bell? Is it the design? Is it a combination of everything?
Well, basically the metal.
Okay. And what's
the metal?
And what's a good metal?
Bell metal, which is copper, brass, and a little bit of antimony in there. It's a type of bronze.
Okay.
And, you know, it's not really a high-class art form that some people would like to make it out of. It's just what worked. You know, the big city in the United States was East Hampton, Connecticut, and that's known as Bell Town. And there were many, many, many factories in that town that made sleigh bells, but then they shipped them around the world. And they originally were made out of the leftover findings from watches.
Okay.
So it was just the metal from the watch industry, and they used that, melted down, and made sleigh bells out of. And the thickness of the bell, at the bottom at the edge, you know, and some bells will take and ring too. Here's a set here that there's four on this strap. They're all different sizes, you see, so I'll try to ring them individually.
Wow.
So that's a very shy harp bell. So here's the matching set that came out of the factory, which I'll explain to you in a moment. Now that's a set. You see, they don't exactly sound the same. One is harmonized higher than the other. Now, if they were the same, it would just about drive you out of your mind going down the road. It'd be just a clang, clang, clang. And this way you'd get a nice...
It does sound nice like that.
So you're working on harmony, you see. And that's
so
why
those would be bells for pair. So you use that for your
pair. That's the pair. Those are shaft bells.
Okay.
They go on the underneath the shafts. And these are a pair of saddlebred bells made in Connecticut. I'll play them.
That's a much different sound. Mm-hmm.
So you see one is higher than the other?
Yeah, and that's a much different
together.
That's a much different sound with that set. Oh, you can just picture the scene, can't you, Wendy?
Yeah.
That makes them tolerable when they're in harmony.
Huh. Very interesting. And were they sold that way then, or have you put them together like that?
No, I bought them as sets.
Okay.
That's the problem today. When you see them in antique stores, you'll see one. Well, they sold the other one to go with it, you see, and then you don't always find it. So if you can find them someplace or that has them as a set, then you've got a nice set of bells. But if they're just on this next bell ring, it was from Holland. And it basically was designed as a single bell. And that has three round chimes on it and some beautiful green and white plumes. And that bell came from Hank Vanderweel.
And now, is that the little? Is that the bell that stands up like on the top of the saddle? And it,
on the
like
top of the saddle with the plumes that come out. Yes. With
I love those.
With a lyre on top. Those are very, very old bells. They're beautiful. Yeah. They're lovely, resonant sound. And then on the back of the horse would be two swags that would fall down with round crotal bells, and that would be the full complement of bells. And then sometimes they use neck bells. I don't use neck bells. I just don't think the horse really appreciates that so closely here, all that clanging and banging. But way back in the 1600s, 1700s, and things like that, when they had the carousels in Europe, these winter displays of carriage of sleighs and all the entertainment, they had blankets of bells, and of course they would have them covering their whole neck and up around their ears and everything. But that was something that was done then. These bells are open bells, but they're upside down, so the clangor is on a spring. Instead of just like a wire that's hanging down. And these bells, I bought these in Holland, they're for traveling stallions. So the stallion would wear these. There's a crupper on this and it attaches to the back pad. The stallion would wear these as he was traveling around making his rounds as sort of an advance warning to the farmers that, that the stallion was coming. And this was worn on the rump of the horse.
And it's like saying the ice cream man's coming.
Yeah, the boys in the neighborhood.
Yes, well, there are seven bells on this pad.
Now, are they much?
And they're all upside, as we would say, they're all upside down. Upside the middle down. One, there's the six have brass crosses. And the middle one has a wooden knocker.
Wow. Oh, really? Huh.
And I saw them, and I asked about them. The man said he knew one other set in Holland, and I said, well, I'll take those. So that was a very nice one. These ones are from Italy. They have a hoop that goes from turret to turret, and they're the crotal bells on either side of the hoop, and then we would call a chime in the middle. And those are very old from Italy.
Boy, they do all sound different, too.
Yeah.
They do. Oh, yes. Well, they have to.
Yeah.
Because when you're coming down the road, you have to know where the other bells are. If they all sound the same, they'd all sound like your bells.
Right.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's right.
And
I didn't think about the fact that you're listening to your own bells at the same time you're hearing other people's bells.
You're listening for other people's bells to see where they are on the road, and you cannot see. You got to remember, if you're out in Western Canada and there's a snowstorm going on and you're all going to a social or something at church and you can't see, that's the only way you can tell where you are, anybody else is with their bells. Because sleighs don't make a sound and horse trotting on snow doesn't make a sound. So the only sound you have are your bells.
But
that's to let your horses know where the other horses are so they don't run into them.
But they did use them back in the old days then when it wasn't snowing as well at nighttime and things like that?
You could.
Yeah.
You could use them if you wanted to. I use mine all year round here because where I live, anything that's brown and moves, you know, is taken for a deer. And so it's just a safety thing. And when we ride in the fall, of course, we have a bell on the stirrup.
Okay.
Because you just don't want to be a statistic in Richland County. And these are little bells. They're very peculiar to Canada. They're open-faced bells, but they're tiny. And they're just, they're my favorite bells.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like Charles Dickens is what that sounds like.
They're I have quite a few of those, and they're my favorite. And they just have a nice little tinkle to them when you put them on a nice sleigh individually. They ring 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I just enjoy those.
How many sets do you have?
Too many.
I didn't think I was going to get an answer on that.
Well, the thing is with bells, it's kind of like books. You know, books are made of wood, paper made of wood, made of trees, and bells are made of metal. So you just put a bunch of bells in a box to pack them away, and you forget that you've got nearly a solid box of metal. Go lift that up, you know?
Yeah.
And I have, you know, many different bells from different countries. And so I have them, you know, from Denmark and Holland and Russia and the Ukraine and Argentina, and bells I collected up in the Tyrol region of Austria. So I just have lots of bells.
So, Barry, how did you get into collecting bells? Like, when did you buy your first one? And which one was your first one?
I didn't buy my first bells. They were on the farm when I was born. They were just there because they were my father's and my grandfather's.
Yeah.
And I had my grandfather's bells, too, and my mother's father. So they were just there. Everybody had the bells. It was a very funny thing at home in Manitoba. When farmers would sell the farm, you'd go to a farm sale, and there was never any bells because they took their bells to town with them when they would retire and move to town. Mm-hmm. And so then I realized that I'm not going to find these bells at the sales. I'm going to find them at the houses in town. And so I got an awful lot like that. But that was your bells were your identity. You know, but if you were going to a school meeting at home, you could tell where the Scots were coming from by their bells, and you couldn't see them. You could hear the Glovers' bells, and you could know how close they were. You knew where the Browns were coming down the other side road, where they were. So everybody's bells are their identity.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's so great. And so would people pass their bells on, like, in families? Like,
Oh, yes. I got my grandfather's bells, yes.
Yeah.
Now, were they?
And they were. I mean, my uncle, but he sold his farm. I mean, that's the one thing he did take. The one thing he did take to town with him was his bells.
He took his bells, and what?
He took his bells. They were there. That was his set of bells. Yes.
Were many of them engraved, the bells themselves, or the leather stamped with?
They did that. Yes, they would get them fancy. They'd run. They embossed them, and their bells weren't engraved per se. That was already a pattern in the casting.
Okay.
And, you know, you'll see some of them with the petals, especially those are the Barton bells that came out of Connecticut. They were one of the earlier ones that did that.
Hmm. Well, what would you feel like what if your next-door neighbor, who's your frenemy, bought the exact same bells that you have?
To come sleep with your wife.
Was it a huge faux pas?
No. Well, you know, they used to have chivalries years ago.
What's that?
A chivalry is when you would come back from the after your marriage, you come back from the honeymoon, and they would have a chivalry, kind of a, well, they were destructive parties or fundraising parties they would have an event. And, of course, what they would do is they would always tie a sleigh bell or two to the bottom of the mattress or the springs.
Uncomfortable.
Very, very uncomfortable. Yes. Talk about letting people know when you were coming. That was something they used to do out in Manitoba. I remember a certain person told me that was a great fun thing to do. But anyway, that's that and bells.
Doesn't you guys have to plan all this stuff in Canada? I guess you need some.
They need something to do up there.
Well, I don't know. I think in upstate New York and New England, they did it as well.
I'm sorry, I can't continue.
Maybe we should start that as a new tradition in Florida. I'm going to throw around
a new tradition. I, you know, I just don't think those people would want bells. There's a lot of people that just don't want bells to know other people where they are and what they're doing.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
You know, it's a dead giveaway. It's like, oh, who's in there?
I do have to ask you a question. Are they still making good new bells, and where do you find them?
Are they still making good and new bells? They are making bells in England, some in England and you know, over in Germany and things. I don't think they're as good. I don't think they have a resonating sound. A good bell, you know, when you hit it, that sound will carry on and just keep that. They're kind of like, duh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, when you were doing that.
They make a lot of them out of brass.
Some of those sets of bells you just played, I mean, it resonated for a while into the speaker on the phone there.
Yes, well, that's what a good bell does. If you pick up a lot of the modern bells and you go ring them, they go, duh, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
They're just, there's nothing there. And of course, both of them are done in brass, just and not with bell metal. Now, when you get into bell ringers, you know, that they have these societies that all the handbells, those are beautiful, and they're all tuned, you see. It's the same as a carillon in a church would be tuned, the big, big bells, and because they're all done to done to note. And so that they would do. But the Bevan Bells in East Hampton, Connecticut, was still in business the last time I was there. I heard they had a fire, so I don't know how much damage it did. And a family member is carrying on. And they would have the recipe of the metal that they would need from the foundry to melt down to make their certain bells.
Hmm.
But they're all different and from different countries. And when you hear the bells from, say, on the Haflingers up in the Alps, that's a totally different bell. Or you hear the bells on the bell mares from Argentina. You think there's a very distinctive bell. They don't sound the same, but they're all in the same family, I would say. So you'd say, okay, that's a peculiar metal that they're using for their metal bells down there, a certain mix, you see, which would be different than, say, they would use on one of the smaller bells. It's 1876 or something you see on the sheep bells or goat bells from Switzerland. You see them often in stores. And now those are very lovely bells and a very beautiful bell metal and lovely sound to them. And you can still buy those. But that's that peculiar bell. But then if you go to someplace else, you think, oh, these bells just don't have a good ring to them. They just stop, duh,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And pick the bell up.
When you were ringing them.
A metal something with you, a bolt or a metal end of a knife, and hit the bell, and it just doesn't do anything there. It just stops.
Now,
when you were ringing, you could really tell the difference between, like, it just was a beautiful sound.
Yeah.
You know, just,
and when they get colder,
brings up a special feeling.
Yes, and when they're colder, they're even more fabulous.
Interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if you took these bells now and put them in a deep freeze and let them sit for about 3 hours and then brought them out, you would have a whole different sound. It would be crisp, and it would be very resonating, and it would be beautiful. And
horses
love bells.
This sounds exciting.
Horses love bells.
Yeah.
They never, they get used to them very, very quickly.
Do you have a favorite set?
Do I have a favorite set? Yes, but I don't have it here with me.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I have. Yeah, there are certain bells I will sit behind on a sleigh, and certain bells I certainly wouldn't sit behind on a sleigh.
Because
you'd
shoot yourself by the time
you get back. Well, yes, I have a little bell. It's a single bell. It's kind of like a little pony bell that goes on the pad. And it's just one chime with a spider on top of these little, little ringlets hanging. And it just goes ching, 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 ching. And that would just about put you right over the edge. You couldn't go very far with that.
That's funny.
But I have some very nice ones that I got out in Minneapolis that fit behind the saddle pad, and they're chimes, and there's four in each one, and they sit right behind the pad, and they're in lovely harmony, and they're beautiful, beautiful bells.
How would the wealthy, what would they do different with their bells, to make them unique and distinctive?
Plumes.
Plumes, okay.
Plumes, lots of plumes, yeah. And plumes are their family colors. You
that makes
see,
sense.
Horsehair plumes. And so the Vanderbilts, theirs would be more of a claret color, you see.
Right.
I had friends from Germany, the Seersdorf Oeynhausen, and their bells were white, and their plumes were white and blue.
Okay, yeah.
So it would depend on the family colors and what the plumes would be. And they'd be, some of them would be stick straight up. It's the way they're constructed on a wooden pole. And the other ones would come up, and then they would just flop over, you see, and just blow in the breeze.
We need to get you some plumes, Wendy.
Oh, I know. I'm desperate for
plumes.
Purple. I need purple and red plumes.
Red, well, that would be a clash unless you're a Red Hatter, but... that purple would be nice, and you could just get some white horsehair to go in that.
I know, that'd be great.
See, Barry, will help you dress your horses,
Wendy. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I love it. That to me is really fabulous, to really turn out a wonderful, lovely sleigh. Because, you see, carriages, they use the word conservative, which, of course, doesn't make any sense to me at all, because I never knew the rich to be conservative, or they wouldn't have these big mansions and things that they did. I don't think they're conservative. But with sleighs for such dreary, cold weather, where it's cloudy half the time, you want something that's bright and cheery, you see. So there's no limit to what you can do turning out a sleigh.
Interesting.
So you can get bright and beautiful and have a great time.
If people are looking for bells now and they want to get a set or a strand or two, what's the best way to do it?
They go on eBay and go in horse bells or sleigh bells.
All right.
That would be well there. There's an association, American Bell Association, that deals in bells, but of all types of bells, from doorbells to wind chimes to just just all kinds of bells, little dinner bells, everything. So that's always a good source, people that you know that. Or go to Martin's Sale, always has some, usually has a good selection of bells in the fall. And just keep your eyes and ears open. And of course, in Florida, a lot of the antique dealers head down south for the winter and take stuff. And so you might just find sleigh bells down there by surprise.
The only problem about buying them on eBay is you can't hear them first.
No, but if you know what they're like, and if you tell by the look at them, you say, okay, that's that bell, and that's that bell, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just to go someplace where you find a lot of bells or see a lot of bells and shake them.
Right.
And just find out what you like. I mean, some people like the little round bells with a little pie cut on top, and you put them on a strap, and they go around the horse's middle. They always sound like chirping birds to me.
Yeah,
instead
of
bells.
I agree.
And I mean, I just don't fancy them at all. They've never been a favorite. I have my grandfather's, and that does nothing for me. I like an open face bell, more like an old school bell. You know?
Yeah.
That's the type I like. But that's just my preference. And I know other people who love the strings of bells and have just walls and walls and walls of them. But I look at them and say they're very pretty, but they're not. They wouldn't be they wouldn't be what I'd want to sit behind and go for a drive.
Barry, thank you so much for joining us and telling us everything about bells. It's been so fascinating. I can't believe it. I didn't even know what I didn't know about bells.
Well, it's the music of winter, as they say.
What would make a better gift for the driver in your life this holiday season than a membership to the American Driving Society? This is truly a gift that keeps giving all year long. They will get access to all the terrific resources that the ADS has to offer, including 4 issues of the highly anticipated Whip magazine. Drivers of every level, from the casual driver like me to the top competitor, will benefit from this membership gift. Take the reins and visit theamericandrivingsociety.org. That's americandrivingsociety.org. On the left-hand side of the page, you'll see a link called Membership. Or give them a call at 608-237-7382. That's 608-237-7382. That's a membership to the American Driving Society for the holidays. Hop on and let's go for a drive. Well, that was fun, and it is amazing. I didn't realize, I think, that almost every set of bells sounded different.
I didn't know that either. That's what I'm saying. I didn't even know all the stuff I didn't know about bells.
And I didn't realize everybody had a different setting or sounding set so that you would know who's coming, but it kind of makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. It's really great.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I think when people live in a small community like that, that's really important to them. Maybe we've kind of lost touch of that because, we live in subdivisions or whatever, kind of spread out. But, I mean, it really gives you more sense of community when you have all that.
You know, and the bells made noise and let people know you were coming. Now we have horns, and that's just annoying. So,
yeah.
Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like a link to anything we talked about in today's show, you go to drivingradioshow.com. You can also find all of our past episodes there. I had somebody email and ask and say, well, not all of your past episodes are on iTunes if you get our show through iTunes. That is true. They only allow us to do 50 past episodes on iTunes. So if you want to listen to episodes older than that, if you want to go back to number one and see how crappy we were, you want to go to drivingradioshow.com, and all of the past episodes are there.
Don't tell them to go back to the old ones where we were crappy. That's in our history. Let's move on.
That's in the past. And that's it for this week. We'll be back again. Well, let me see. Let me take a look here and see what the schedule is. Yes, we'll be back with one more episode next week, and then the following week, Christmas week, this will be the second time I think we've done it for the driving show. Were you on last year's All Hosts episode?
I was, yeah. That's so fun.
We're going to do that again this year where we get all the different hosts together from all the different shows, and we all get on the line at the same time, and we do a special hour show where we're all just sitting around gabbing, talking about the holidays and our horses and all of that. And we always play that across all the shows on Christmas week. So you have that to look forward to coming up to the All Hosts episode right here on the Driving Radio Show with myself and Wendy going to be there.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And remember, keep the shiny side up.
Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Christmas times are coming. Christmas times are coming. Christmas times are coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's are calling. Tall pines are humming, 'cause Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing? Joy, joy, hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home, yeah. Holly's in the window, home's where the wind blows. You can't walk for running, 'cause Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing? Joy, joy, hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Back home when Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing? Joy, joy, hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. 'Cause Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, and I know I'm going. Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming.